You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Three teams have been 15-1 in the history of the National Football League. All right, give yourselves a round of applause.
Dude, I was watching, I don't know, was it NFL Network a week ago? And they were showing the Randy Moss Green Bay breakout game in its entirety from 1998, a week ago today. NFL Network just running out of stuff to show, I guess. But
it's a great game, though.
Oh, my God.
Such a fun game. God, he was good.
And the Packers were still, you know, they were coming off back-to-back Super Bowl appearances, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Dude, the Packers hadn't lost at home at that point in like 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was like their first home loss in like three seasons.
Yes. And it was raining. The weather was weird. And Randy Moss goes gangbusters during that 15-1 season. So, hey, we're live. We are live. F it. Let's do it live on the Score North YouTube channel.
Flowing in here.
Peter Vargas says, Mackie needs those restroom breaks because of those Athletic Greens. It's athleticgreens.com/purpledaily. athleticgreens.com/purpledaily. Scheduled for that plug today.
Zero brain fog.
Let's see here. Captain Bat Bronze. Man, Declan's mustache will be back before they're live. We were 3 minutes late. 3 minutes late.
They are live.
Are you growing the mustache back?
I got the beard going a little bit here. Again, trying to grow that out. I don't know. I kind of liked it too. Trying to figure out what I want to do with it. I'm in a wedding in a month. I'm in a wedding literally a month from yesterday.
Handlebar.
I'm in. So we'll see what I want to do there. I don't know.
I think you should go for it, man.
Handlebar.
Yeah, I'll have to maybe consult with the bride-to-be and my buddy who I'm in the wedding from and say, hey, you know, he's actually growing out his hair. Like, he's been growing it out since COVID. And I was like, are you shaving it for the wedding? And he told me, no, she said, I got free reign to do whatever I want with it.
The lion's mane for the wedding. I think that gives you free reign to do whatever you want with the lip duster.
I agree with that.
I don't think you should ask permission either. I think you should do it and seek forgiveness later.
Your wedding? You know what? That's cool. Somebody else's? Just go with it, man.
People are saying it's now your facial hair grows back faster now because you've been kind of riding the elevator. So
you know, it just took 30 years for it to do that. But yeah, finally working. finally working.
He's a grown man now that he's turned 30 years old. So we're going live here. We're doing it live every Friday, 10 o'clock. Central time on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, 11 o'clock-ish Central time on the Score North YouTube channel. This is Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd, your home for daily Minnesota sports entertainment, speculation, and therapy. And this is a Feedback Friday. You can always hit us up throughout the week on the Score North app. There's a feedback tab. We try to get to as many questions and concerns, critiques as we can. Let's start with Jason from Seattle, who says, if there was still a question about whether Dalvin Cook is going to be on the team next year, just take a look at the most recent Vikings social media post regarding their schedule release. So they put their schedule out with like a promotional banner of some of the players on the team. I think they put four players on the banner. One of them was Alex Mattison. They've put Alex Mattison of all the players on the roster. You could have, I mean, hell, you got the expanded roster now, right? You got like 90 guys on your offseason roster. I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's like Justin Jefferson. Cousins. Yeah, I don't know for sure. But Alex Mattison is one of the four players on it. I'm excited to see the shifts the organization is making toward a younger, faster, more modern organization that's prioritizing building toward a dynasty rather than single-year success. Moves like moving away from Thielen, moving away from Dalvin, keeping your options open with Za'Darius Smith rather than reacting to his social media rant. It wasn't even really a rant. He just like thanked the fans. But not extending Kirk, new dynasties aren't built with 35-year-old quarterbacks. They're built through the draft with younger, faster, less expensive players. So, yeah, how about that? Mattison on the promotional poster. There it is. Who do we got here? Hockenson, J.J. Kirk, and Mattison.
Where's the defense? Where's Brian Flores?
Well, the other two.
That's part of the problem, though. That's part of the problem. You don't have one. Hitman, come on. Put somebody.
Hitman, you could have put Hitman on there. Why not put Hitman instead of Madison to avoid controversy? Or are they just doing it to troll people?
I bet the head coach said, we're an offensive team now. This Zimmer stuff's gone. I want
They could have put Darisaw. They could have put Brian O'Neill's recovering from an injury.
Are you really going to put a tackle, though? Like, I love tackles. Don't get me wrong. Because we're dealing in skill positions here, baby. We're dealing in who touches the football.
It's just kind of funny, though, that they with all the uncertainty, they make it a certainty when they put Alex Madison on.
I was
going to
say, I don't think that there is one bit of uncertainty about Cook's future here. I think it's very decided, and it's over.
All right, Mike Malkovich says, typically the NFL likes to put big markets and teams it expects to be good in primetime. What does it say to you about the NFL's view of the Vikings this season that they have 5 primetime games? Minnesota's not a big TV market, so 5 games seems high for a team everyone called a fraud last year. Do you think the NFL league offices view the Vikings more favorably than Vegas odds makers do?
Okay, so 13 wins and a for sure superstar gets you primetime. Justin Jefferson is a superstar. Like he is a guy. So I think that there's a few things at work when the primetime portion of the schedule is drawn up. One is, do you have that player? And the Vikings do now. So, like, you've gone to a place where he might not be Moss, but he is one of the best players in the league. That's huge. The other thing is, don't get confused by market size in this league and popularity.
Buffalo, Kansas City.
The Packers.
Packers.
Right? The Packers have 5 primetime games with Jordan Love. Don't forget, the Jets before Rodgers basically were given one game a year. The Jets were off the radar. They play essentially in New York, okay? So we shouldn't confuse, like, market size. Oh, it's a big market. It's superstar power and fan bases. Pittsburgh, Green Bay, I think the Vikings now, more and more, you have big fan bases. Those teams get primetime exposure. And don't sell fan short here, too. I think one thing that has really transpired and progressed, like, in the last 10 years or so, the Vikings now, I think that their fan base has become far more global and huge. Like, look at all of the Vikings fans at games. When I covered the team starting in 2005, you didn't see that. Fans went, but not like this. So, like, the Vikings, to me, have become much more of an attraction. And when you put the cherry on top, which is Justin Jefferson, that makes you a primetime darling.
And I think probably the most eye-opening thing of even to speak for both of us, all of us here on this show, is the craziness that of us doing Purple Daily now for the last few years. Mm-hmm. The amount of Vikings fans that are outside of it, I had zero idea, to Judd's point there. I had no idea there's a contingency of so many Vikings fans that are nationally and even globally. When I do my Ventline episodes, and even when we do the ones in the season, I would say more than 50% of those fans that join us are not in Minnesota, which is mind-blowing to me. I never knew that.
And it's crazy, too. I mean, just, you know, like you said, if we're just looking at the Minneapolis audience, I think Minneapolis, St. Paul is maybe the 14th or 15th largest market. So it's a big market, but it's not a New York, Boston, Los Angeles, Chicago, you know, San Francisco market. And the audience size, even for this show, the last 2 or 3 years, you know, we've told you guys that, like, we frequently will hit 7th or 8th or 10th on the football podcast charts. And there's no other team podcast that are hitting. It's like national football podcast. It's Pardon My Take is classified as a football podcast. It's, you know, the Athletic Football Show and all these. Like, the fact that one fan base can turn one show, team centric show, into one of the most listened to podcasts in America tells you how far the reach goes for Vikings fans. I think it says more about how many Vikings fans there are looking for content than, like, us. We're just the idiots who hop on the microphone and are crazy enough to talk Vikings every day. So, yes, it's. But then back to the point about the markets, the NFL has become the only league in America that's just averse to market size. It doesn't matter. You know, in other leagues, you're kind of in the NHL right now, you're kind of like, oh, God, what if it's Carolina and Edmonton in the Stanley Cup Finals? Boy, that could be kind of a train wreck for ratings, right? Mm-hmm. in the NFL, you never think, oh no, what if Buffalo plays Green Bay in the Super Bowl? That's like, two tiny markets. You're like, dude, that'd be an awesome matchup. Aaron Rodgers versus Josh Allen. So yeah, market size really has no bearing on anything in the NFL. All right. So actually, before we get to the next question, a bunch of people wondering how many of Judd's mock schedule games wound up being correct, or how many things did you wind up hitting? Yeah. Did you do the tally?
I think only one.
Yeah, I think
I nailed the Raiders game exactly, and that's it.
Okay. Hey, nice job. You didn't get blanked.
No. Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right.
As but always, yeah, next
just,
year.
Just one. Okay. Well, you know, like, let's not assume that the schedule makers got this entire thing right themselves, okay?
Maybe they're wrong and you're right.
This is open for a discussion here. Like, there's no black and white here. This is not wins and losses, and I predicted a game. This is very much a fluid, hey, I wonder if I was right and they were wrong, and we're going to find out.
Well, we are.
You know, that might not have been a great... But I think I gave the Vikings, I think I gave them 4 primetime games, and they actually upped that by 1, and you max out at 6. So.
Yeah. Okay, Steve Graff says, so apparently you and Tyler Fornes on Purple Access put Kene Iwuangwu on the chopping block for roster cuts. Is that correct?
Tyler very much did, and I didn't disagree. Okay. And I agreed with him, though.
So Steve says, how likely is it that it ends up being a Cordarrelle Patterson misuse situation where they can't figure out how to utilize Kene's strengths and instead focus on the weaknesses? In the case of Cordarrelle, they were, but you know, I'll just summarize this by saying, yeah, I mean, there was a way to use Cordarrelle and the Vikings decided. What's funny is the Vikings actually got Cordarrelle more targets and receptions than I think anybody else ever did. He caught like 50 passes 1 year as a Viking, yeah, and he was a kick returner. So you could argue that the Vikings actually maximized Cordarrelle Patterson.
But not in the right way. That's the problem. He couldn't run a route, and they insisted that he try. And what the teams after the Vikings did was said, screw it. You know what? Backfield. I'm telling you, when and we all saw this and talked about it at the time. Who was the guy that the Packers had with McCarthy? Was it Montgomery? Big guy that they lined up as a running back, and he was a receiver, I think, originally. I forget his name. But the second that Collar saw that, me, Phil, I think you joined in at the time too, we're all like, oh, why don't you give Cordarrelle that chance? Because the Vikings bitched and moaned continually about the fact he couldn't run a route. And so that's where the Vikings insisted that Cordarrelle do something that he couldn't really do well. And that's where I think there's fault.
Ty Montgomery.
Thank you.
Ty Montgomery.
I think the fear with Iwuangwu would be, and this guy was actually an every down running back for the most part when AP was there. But the fear would be that Iwuangwu turns into a Jerick McKinnon, right? Like Jerick's got re-signed again by the Chiefs. And I know he's propped up in a really good offense. Don't get me wrong. But Jerick McKinnon is a great little scat back. You can put as an outside, you can line him up at receiver. You can put him in the backfield. Just put the ball in his hands, basically. A lot like Cordarrelle. He's this little scat guy that can just get open and create his own lanes, basically. I think that's the fear, but also like, he's a really good kick returner, and if Kevin O'Connell and Wes Phillips honestly feel that he can't be an every down running back, I think default to those coaches more than that there's this hidden weapon in Iwuangwu. It's no longer an idea anymore.
Mike Zimmer didn't have a vision for players like that, but I would think Kevin O'Connell and Wes Phillips do, and Kwesi. So if they decide at the end of the day, yeah, you can't throw a pass to him or whatever, or we just like these other running backs better. We like Ty Chandler better than I would probably trust them. Alex H. says, really enjoying the offseason content so far with all the talk about the undrafted free agents like Ivan Pace and Andre Carter. I think it would be helpful if you guys would walk us through the UDFA process, roster cuts, practice squad, etc. When the draft ends, are these guys just bombarded with offers from teams and they get to choose where to go? Yes, a lot of them are. And once they sign, are they just like any other player the team drafted in the same class? So, Judd, you covered this a little bit more closely, but basically, once you get into the seventh round, agents and players would rather you not be drafted because you can A, pick your team if you just don't get drafted, and B, sometimes not everyone, but in the case of like an Andre Carter, you could actually get a bigger signing bonus and maybe even a partially guaranteed contract.
Correct.
And you wind up getting out of your contract sometimes earlier, right? Like you could maybe be on a 2-year contract instead of a 4-year contract if you're undrafted and then hit free agency when you're younger. I think that's how that works.
Yeah, and so the calls actually to those guys start in the last round. So, like, teams see guys starting to fall and slip. Now, this does explain, though, why Rick always tried to get so many sixth and seventh round picks, because he was trying to stop guys from going on the market so he could draft them and then he could have them, right? That's why. But yes, I think the phone call process starts Saturday in the seventh round. Bombard, it's a very good word, accurate word. And that at some point around then, though, I do think that the majority of guys and their representatives are like, good, we're not going to be drafted, pick our team. It feels like, Phil, in the last, I don't know, 5 years or so, that this paying more has become a bigger thing. The Wilfs have often been willing to do exactly that. And then at least if you get them in your infrastructure and then cut them as training camp ends or first cuts, it becomes viable, since they're there already, to bring them back on your practice squad. So it's not that convoluted or confusing, but it has become more competitive, and there's definitely teams that are willing to pay more. And keep in mind, too, the salary cap stops at what? 48, 50 players? It's the top 50. So, like,
51.
51. So, right. So those guys don't count. So, like, you sign them, but you don't have the problem of them counting against the cap. So it actually makes it very viable to probably write a slightly bigger check at times based on that as well.
Yeah. Okay. Casey Boris chimes in and says, this is via the ScoreNorth app, the feedback tab. I have been listening to you guys for a whole year now. I've been a Vikings fan my whole life, living in Wisconsin. I don't have any Vikings allies. So having your podcast is a blessing every day. I don't get to Minnesota often, but this past weekend I went to get my sister from college. I made an argument to go to US Bank Stadium, as I've never been there before. I finally got to make my holy pilgrimage to the promised land, and it made me ever more grateful for you guys. I really love this team and sport. I'm thankful to be able to listen every day to you guys. That's really cool. Like, when people see that stadium for the first time, we got an email from a listener from, I believe, is it Australia, that's going to make a trip, a honeymoon trip this fall. And, like, to see that stadium, some people say it's ugly. It's like a spaceship dropped in a major metropolitan area. Yeah. It is this. It's so compared to the ship. Metrodome. Yes, it's like a Viking ship with glass, ship. I guess. Mm-hmm. So it is a cool experience. If you've never seen US Bank Stadium or experienced the game, definitely make plans at some point to make that happen. Before we get to some other stuff here, we have some non-Viking stuff we'll get to from people as well. Let's shout out a couple of our partners, including the Meadows at Mystic, Declan. Golfing season, baby.
Oh, it is. It's finally nice and summertime out here. We had that awful April, and now it's finally out there to go up, hit the links, whether you want to shoot, you know, sub 80s like my friends do, or you have, you know, that one guy in your group like Declan who's, you know, flirting with breaking 100 and you're getting cheers when you actually, you know, put an iron shot in the air. No matter who you're playing with, I would do it at the Meadows at Mystic Lake, one of those most scenic and award-winning 18-hole public golf courses around. Go to golfthemeadows.com to book that tee time. And when you're out there, maybe at the turn or before the round, go enjoy the cold one at the Meadows Bar and Grill, too. One of the best patios around, to be honest, in any golf course there is. Go to golfthemeadows.com to secure that tee time.
Awesome. It's also scooter season here. Can't wait to maybe later today at my old Macadac, if the rain holds off, might go scooting around town. So you can get 100 to 120 miles per gallon with scooters you buy at EcoFun. So beat the man at the pump and just ditch your car altogether for a scooter. I wouldn't recommend doing that entirely. You know, you can't, like, go on the freeways with a scooter. But you can also save $300 off the total price of a new Yamaha Zuma 125 fuel-injected scooter at EcoFun. Lowest price ever. EcoFun. Scooter season. Let's get it.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts, or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. All right, back to the questions here. The Feedback Friday live on the ScoreNorth YouTube channel. Please click subscribe and the like button if you haven't already. Nathan M. says, can you explain to me why Twins apologists seem to be the most sensitive group of fans out there? This is for Judd.
I saw this one.
Make an innocent tweet about the lineup maybe scoring a run tonight, and the Twins defenders come out of the woodwork defending the Twins and telling me I'm not a true fan and should go cheer for the Brewers. Last time I checked, the Twins offense was last in most statistical categories, yet the defenders keep saying it's a small sample size. For a team that has lost 18 straight playoff games, why can't this team be criticized and be the butt of jokes without diehards getting all sensitive?
Why don't you be a better fan, huh? Why don't you be a better fan? Go cheer for the Brewers. Go cheer for the Cubs. You suck. You suck. We're great, okay? We're fantastic.
Turn in your fan card, yeah, you're Nathan. Guy.
Nathan, how dare you demand more? It's weird, and I feel like it's gotten worse, Phil. Like, when you started on the beat, was it this sensitive? Did you feel like? I feel like it's gotten worse.
Well, more social media, more platforms. It makes everything louder and noisier, so it's hard to really compare. But because, you know, like 10 years ago when I covered the Twins beat, Instagram didn't really exist. Twitter was much smaller.
Twitter, though, a little bit. I mean, it just feels like there's more of a backlash of, you know, oh, I guess you could do a better job. Well, I'm not paid $35 million a year.
I think there is an article. Oh, God, should I reference this? I'm going to. What the hell?
I think you're
going to
do it. I know which one you're talking about.
There was an article on Twins Daily yesterday that got circled around, and it was basically like, Twins fans should stop booing Carlos Correa. And it laid out a quote from Joey Gallo when he was in New York like a year or two ago saying, like, it really hurt his feelings that, boy, now I'm one of those players that Yankees fans think is the problem, and it was really hard on me when they booed. And it's just like, I'm not a guy that goes and boos at a baseball game, but I'm not going to tell fans who pay a lot of money to go watch a team, a player that tried desperately to go sign with two other teams and then settled for the Twins because doctors rejected his advances to New York and San Francisco, maybe makes $36 million a year and comes in and has a bad start to the season. Like, it doesn't mean that he's garbage or that he's worthless, but if you're a fan and that upsets you, on the tail end, by the way, of 20 years of playoff failures and 0-18, an active 18-game playoff losing streak. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't be a little upset at underperforming players in an underperforming franchise. Don't let commentators and other fans gaslight you into thinking that you're a bad fan because you're a little ticked off about the offense. The Twins, by the way, are off to a nice start. They just took 2 out of 3 from the Padres. Like, I think there's more reason to cheer the Twins than boo the Twins this season. But I get how loaded it is going back to 2004, the last time they won a playoff game.
Gallo really said it hurt his feelings to be booed in New York?
Pretty much.
Well, and it was more he was, and this is where I do draw a line, like, he was significantly harassed outside in public, like at restaurant, like that. If you're a fan that does that, like, I do think
New York,
you're a terrible human being. You're a terrible dude.
You can't go out to eat or enjoy your life in New York or Boston unless you're hitting at least 280, I guess.
Yeah, it's true.
You're not wrong.
But I don't know. Yeah, there is kind of a weird aversion, I think, among and generally speaking, I think Minnesotans, we don't love confrontation, really. It's not really our style. And so but you know what's funny? People booed Joe Mauer. People booed Joe Mauer. Joe Mauer won batting titles. They booed Joe Mauer because he didn't hit enough home runs for his size.
4'6"3", baby. 4'6"3".
And he brought it into a lot of other places.
We were very unfair to Joe. You know what, Joe? I'd like to apologize. I'm sorry.
Oh, he has a hat for everything. Hat.
I'd like to, but Joe, we're sorry. Joe, come back.
Didn't they give that one away like 4 years ago?
Oh, wait, we did. Yeah, they did.
That's an old giveaway.
Yeah, it's a nice hat, though. Just found it.
I love Joe, man. Joe was one of my favorite players to cover. Just like the most genuine, nicest guy. You're always wondering, like, what is it? What's he hiding? Is he fake nice guy? No, he's just super nice to everybody.
Yeah.
And Joe. Now he's just chilling. Laying low, raising his kids.
Rich as can be. Good for him.
On his lawn. Yep.
Yeah.
Good for him.
All right. Eric McConnon chimes in and says, you've mentioned a few times in the past that you have write that down predictions that are still on the board from several years ago. The example you gave from 7 years ago is saying the Twins will poach someone from the Cubs front office with no end date. got me thinking. That prediction doesn't have an end date, so literally the only way it can come off the board is if either the Twins or Cubs cease to exist as a franchise, or if the Twins finally... It's true. It was an oversight in the early days of Write That Down, not putting end dates on things.
Had no end dates.
I think it would be a fun episode if you compile a list of these old predictions without end dates and decide to either take them off the board or add an end date. Since some of them are so old, it would also function as an old predictions exposed. What if we did that right now?
Yeah, what do we got here?
That's great. I love that idea.
I've been playing Write That Down longer, and I very rarely push a prediction out more than like 6 months to a year. But I bet you guys have some. I mean, the Larry Brown one came off the board, a year and a half ago? And that was on for like six years.
Judd said Larry Brown will coach again.
And we missed it.
It was on the board for six years.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, it's either going to come off when Larry Brown coaches again or dies.
Right.
And he coached again.
Come back and we missed it.
Yeah.
Like, I think you found it 2 years after the fact or something, right?
Yes. Okay, so here's some of the ones that Judd has. And these, in my notes, a couple of these date back to 2015 or 16, the first time we ever started doing Write That Down predictions.
Blair Walsh, wide left. Okay.
Arizona State will join the Big Ten Hockey Conference.
That could be
still viable, actually. Yeah, that's hilarious. Viable.
Okay, well, before I go through these, should we say that there's an end date of the end of 2023 or the end of 2024 or something? How about the end of 2024?
Sure.
Can we say that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to add end date to these.
Which is going to make it wrong because there's no way that they would now join by 2024, but that's fine.
Well, end of 2024. Okay. Carolina Hurricanes will relocate to Quebec.
I think we can take that off.
That one can be off.
They're not going to Quebec. No. At the time, that's right before they got sold and they weren't drawing, but that can now be for sure.
I'll just say end date May 20th. So I have a note for next week's Write That Down session.
It can definitely be killed.
Okay, Big Ten restaurant will reopen somewhere on the East Bank. God, I miss those Big Ten subs.
I really thought they would. You know what? I really, really thought I would be very comfortable now killing that one as well because I thought that it would be – what's the one that –
I'm going to give you till the end of 2024 on that one.
Okay, sure. What's the one, the bar that got torn down and then they went into the, I think, bottom of the apartment that's there now? Declan.
In Dinky?
No.
No, in Stadium Village.
Stadium Village.
Sally's?
Yeah, Sally's.
Sally's?
So I thought the Big Ten restaurant would be like Sally's. So it can definitely come off. That's so sad. And the Big Ten in Hopkins closed too. Those are some of the great subs.
We have a mutual friend. I think our mutual friend Nadine Babu has the recipe for those subs. So as long as that lives on somewhere.
Oh, that could be a tailgate then for our Gopher football.
I think it's been before. I'm not sure if we've been invited to that. Okay, you also have the Vikings will retire Randy Moss's number at some point. Let's just leave that for a little bit. That's going to be that one at some point.
It's ridiculous. It hasn't happened yet, too. Yeah. Closed circuit Vikings. Come on.
For me, the oldest ones are Johnny Manziel will star in a reality show before starting in the NFL. We'll put an end date of 2024 on that one, too. The Twins will pluck someone from the Cubs front office. I'm going to say end of 2024 for that.
That's a classic one where we didn't enforce it and we should have. Like we should have said by when.
By this hiring
and
cycle.
And we never said
but
it.
But we didn't.
Then.
And it's a technicality. It's a loophole. A
crude old days.
Andrew Luck or Tom Brady will play for the Vikings at some point.
You can take it off.
But it could stay on the board until Luck is like too old to come back.
I would put an April 20th date on that one. I would put an April 20th date. The spirit of that prediction's gone.
I argue it's not. I'm going to put end of 2024 on that one.
Wow.
Tom Brady's like
Andrew
always
Luck is
thinking about
never
coming
back. And TB's about to buy into a team.
Okay, why would the Commanders reach out to Luck if there wasn't some level of interest in coming back?
Because they're the Commanders.
Yeah, because they're the Commanders and they're kind of dumb.
Andrew Luck weighs like 120 right now, man. Last time I saw him, he was blowing away.
I think I'm okay. I have time for one more.
It's a Cookie Monster.
Let's see here. Listeners.
Cookie.
Listeners. No, these are all these listener ones have end dates on them. Declan, you don't have any. I think those are the ones.
They're better than
those are the ones that go back like way before Declan was on the show, way before we had listeners making predictions. So, all right, we've put end dates on some of these.
I don't think that Declan was on the show when we would just allow the bottomless pit prediction.
We kind of did a good job when in 3 years ago this time of setting more parameters. I think our more issue was those first 3 months because, you know, sports weren't back from May 2020 to like July when baseball came back. So I'm sure we pushed some out like in that little couple month timeline. Mm-hmm. But I think we mostly have caught up.
I searched for that Johnny Manziel one. There's rumors that there's a Johnny Manziel documentary coming out, and I was going to flag that as a technicality. If they do a docu-series about Johnny Manziel, there was an announcement like last fall, but it hasn't come out yet. So if there's like a reality docu-series, does that count as a reality show? And we could split hairs, but anyhow.
We'll deal with it at that time. Right now, I can't do that.
All right, Ted Snazza chimes in here with some reckless speculation on this Feedback Friday. He says Bill Guerin won't fire the head coach because he is the head coach. Dean Evason is just a figurehead, and he's been told he has no say in anything, which is why he does nothing in the game, nothing in the room, nothing in practices, nothing pre or post game. He knows he just gets to sit back, watch hockey, and collect a nice fat paycheck. Billy is a great GM, but a horrible head coach. He won't fire Dean because he doesn't get to determine lineups. No other head coach is going to come in here and allow that crap. Everything recklessly can fit into this speculation. Why Dean never makes in-game changes like a real head coach. Why Dean never addresses the room in the middle of a game or takes a timeout in the middle of a game. Why do you never see Dean talking with any of the players in the game or giving them advice? Half the reason why the Wild won Game 3 is because Dean had to make in-game lineup changes with Ek out. And with that working so well, why didn't they do it again next game? No changes again. Lost. What do you think? Do you think Bill Guerin's the shadow coach of the Minnesota Wild here?
I love a conspiracy theory, okay? Like, I am Mr. Conspiracy, but even I'm not sure that I can get on board. So he's basically saying that Dean is a season ticket holder who just happens to get to stand behind.
Pretty much.
The bench,
and he wears $5,000 Armani suits. Yes.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and he's ripped, so I would never say this to his face because he'd kick my ass. I think that I get what he's saying, Dex. I don't think it's that much, but yeah, Bill Guerin definitely, there's no question, has an important influence. I don't think he's coaching the team.
Yeah, I think he steps in when he needs to. But for the most part, in the classic Lou Nanny analogy of players play, coaches coach, and managers manage, I think Billy kind of stays in his lane for the most part. And he doesn't strike me as a guy who wants to get into the coaching sphere. I think he loves being GM. And to be honest, I think Bill's done a really good job at being a GM. So I don't think coaching an X's and O's is something he wants to do.
Supreme Train in the YouTube comment section says, I need to know where Mackie got his white Paul Bunyan and Babe the Ox hat. Noonan Golf. N-O-O-N-A-N Golf. Noonan. Noonan Golf.
Nice and good endorsement right there.
Speaking of, hello to our friends at Dennis Kirk. All you Ragnars and Victors riding around on your motorcycles, make sure your motorcycle is ready this summer with Dennis Kirk. Whatever you ride, you'll find what you need at DennisKirk.com so you can ride more and weigh less. Over 180,000 parts and accessories in stock, clothing and helmets too. Shipping is free for orders over $89. If you order by 8 p.m., they ship the same day. DennisKirk.com, everything you need for your ride at DennisKirk.com. All right, one more for you guys here. Sean Trustin says, if Tim Connolly leaves the Wolves, where does he rank all time in Minnesota sports scumbags like Norm Green and Fred Smoot? Also, a full episode on all time Minnesota sports scumbags would be glorious. Love the YouTube channel.
I love that
order. That's got a, yeah, scumbags. That's, let's do that one on a Tuesday.
Okay. I did save it for you want to put this together, Judd, for a pecking order next week?
Sure. Hold on. I'll write a note to myself right now.
Okay. Scumbag. So all-time Minnesota sports scumbags, Tim Connolly inspired if he leaves. Yeah. Norm Green for moving the Minnesota North Stars. Who was the guy? Was it that old George O'Leary who fudged his resume as a coach?
And then got
That was the Notre Dame thing.
He got the DC job here.
That's right.
With Ticey.
So he was fine here. But that's an interesting list. David Kahn.
Oh, yeah.
Grease ball.
Just being a grease ball. Holtz bolted on us.
Scumbag?
Left us. Well, like, just like 2 years in, we thought it was turning around.
No, but he gave everyone a heads up. If the Notre Dame job opens, I'm going to take it.
Why is he leaving for the Notre Dame job?
That
only came up once it became clear that the job was open. We didn't know that. We were caught by
surprise. But did the school know it? Wasn't it in his contract?
Well, the school probably did, but we didn't. We were taken by surprise.
Well, I blame the school then for not being transparent.
We felt like they were a scumbag.
Is Paul Fenton a scumbag? Paul Fenton a scumbag?
Gerson Rosas?
Gerson Rosas would be, yeah, because of the sort of shady. Fenton got fired because he couldn't communicate with people. Does that make you a scumbag? Gerson, I think, does get the scumbag title. You know, a little bit of off the court recklessness.
Okay. Yeah, Judd will put that. That's a great pecking order for sure. For sure.
Red McCombs.
Yeah, people chiming in. Red McCombs. Tom Thibodeau. Oh, wow. Oh, I don't put that up. Okay. Well, I don't know. Tom, you got your name on it.
I wasn't going to put.
Okay. Good. We don't want to air Tom out too publicly. But
Tommy.
Let's just say Tom had an experience, he says, with Tom Thibodeau. So
Tom, you owe us a round for us not putting that up there.
Tom has given us several rounds in the past.
Tom's got access to rounds. You owe us a round.
Awesome. All right. Well, there it is. There's your live Feedback Friday here on Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd. If you could click the subscribe button and the like button on the Score North YouTube channel, it helps us spread the word and the gospel of Score North and what we're building here. And if you listen to the podcast too on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star rating and a positive review go a long way to helping us grow this platform. So every Friday, we're going to be live at 10 o'clock-ish on Purple Daily YouTube and 11 o'clock-ish on the Score North YouTube channel. Thanks for hanging out with us. Don't forget, Action Movie Rewind is back as of yesterday, so you can check out the latest episode of that. And we'll see you guys on Monday.